Hello.
Hi.
Hello. Hi. Gonna be a small group today.
Not much interest in Wolfcon.
I guess. Yeah,
Or nobody wants wants to do something.
get assigned to
Get
something.
assigned, yeah, get assigned to something.
That could be. While we're waiting, Cornelia, I'm working on the slide for the RA, for the SIG showcase. So I will share that with you, and if you have ideas, it's only one slide, but
Course.
Give it one more minute, see if anybody else pops in.
No, I forget to announce it on Slack.
Yes. Well, the agenda is there. Right. Well, let's get started. We may have a short-ish meeting. Our goals today are just to talk about plans for WolfCon. And thank you, Cornelia, for putting in the whole agenda there for the RA-related items that are coming up at WolfCon, which is only 2 weeks away. It's hard to
Yay!
believe. I know.
So I copied that from you.
Yes, I put it on next whenever it is, next Thursdays as a reminder. So I don't think we have plans to meet on Monday. Do you have anything for Monday, Cornelia? This the next week?
No.
Okay. Then why don't we plan to meet next on the 18th? I am gonna need time to prepare for my presentation on eReserve Plus. I just got my credentials for my environment that I'm gonna be able to use to present. So I'm gonna be busy with that over the next couple weeks. So no meeting, I'll put this on here. No meetings on 9/11 or 9/15.
Yeah, I liked it. We are
Okay.
starting another migration this week, so.
Ah, lucky you. Okay, so then the last time we talked about this, we really so the features of the WolfCon that are all RA related, and I think I got all of them. The first is sort of was an idea of Tara Barnett, who wanted to sort of for folks who are new to Folio or new to WolfCon, have an opportunity to see what all the different SIGs do. So it's basically, I think there are eight of us doing lightning talks to present what each of the SIGs does and entice people to come and join us. One thing that, and maybe this is a future meeting, that as I was thinking about this showcase and what we should say and how we can invite people to come and join us, sort of one of the things we've seen is that newer libraries who are joining the Folio Project were not necessarily seeing them show up at SIG meetings, and thinking about how to do some more proactive outreach to those groups. And so that might also be something to include in the planning meeting. So eReserve Plus is, I'm presenting that afternoon on the first day. And then I wish Thomas was here because I know that there are these two things. I had forgotten that he was doing two fee fine items on for the meeting. So the fee fine export is more of a presentation, as I understand it, whereas the fee fine working session on Thursday is more of a meeting, a working meeting to talk about fee fine development and really as a kickoff to some fee fine meetings that we will slot into every other Thursday after WolfCon. So the remaining one is on Thursday morning. We'll have our RA SIG meeting. Cornelia, you will be remote.
Yes.
Is that a reasonable time for you? Yeah, that's a re not a terrible time for you, right? It's not the middle of the night or something. That's the one thing about being virtual for these things. It's only in the time zone.
Yes.
I did that once and it was not easy. So essentially we want to think about what to do in the planning meeting. And I think that the idea that we had last time was a good one, which was to think about really think about a survey of some sort that we could send out to through Slack. We could send it out to user libraries who are using Folio, libraries who are considering Folio. If we know them, we could put it out on listservs, access related listservs. And I think what we talked about at the last meeting, we talked about this, was sort of a combination of trying to get a sense of how many libraries are using certain features in Folio within the resource access realm. But I also see it as an opportunity to do some promotion of the SIG. And there's so it sort of could be twofold. So I'm thinking that this SIG session could include conversations about both brainstorming, recruitment sorts of efforts, as well as talking specifically about the survey as one tool and getting some idea, brainstorming ideas about that as another. What does that sound like to folks? So we only have, let's see, what is our, we only have 50 minutes. It's not a very long time period. So I want to be intentional about what we are spending that time on. And it seems like outreach and recruitment and trying to get participation from newer libraries is good because I feel like we're not feeding from the bottom of the pyramid. And in order to get more involvement and future conveners and, folks to be involved and working on tickets and things like that, we need to start bringing new people in at this stage and bring them along. Otherwise, we keep having retirements and it keeps making me think, like what now? Some of you may have noticed that Christine Tobias retired on Friday. We sent her a note to thank her for her efforts on the SIG over the years, but unfortunately, she wasn't at Thursday's meeting, so we weren't able to tell her personally.
Oh, she sends her best wishes to us.
Thank you. Thank you.
I would just mention from my perspective working with libraries implementing that if there were some sort of a standard onboarding procedure, I think that could go a long way. I feel we do all that we can to say, get involved in the community, here's what that means. Don't forget about WolfCon, think about whatever, right? And we just don't see a lot either, right? You occasionally have a library that's gung-ho and they'll send people and they'll understand that that time needs to be carved out and that kind of thing. But I don't know if it's like messaging for administrators at a higher level in the library, right? That like here's a justification document of how this will benefit your users, or I don't know who needs to be convinced or explained differently, but I think it would help all of us if we could agree on like this is the stuff that matters and it'll catch people's attention.
We have in the past done an onboarding with some sort of regularity, Cornelia, like once a year, maybe, you think?
Yeah, but we didn't have new people joining since the last one.
Yeah. So I wonder if it's something that we could raise. If we have that as an idea and we put it on the calendar and we are able to promote it at WolfCon, like during the SIG showcase and at our SIG meeting, we could potentially do that. I do get, like, I remember when I first started, it's a high bar. Like, it feels pretty daunting. And I don't think it's gotten easier. So people do really have to be proactive, because there's just a lot to learn. And get up to speed. So I think you're,
I kind
yeah.
of think, sorry, I kind of think we can learn from new people too, right? Like I was just talking to a coworker that is pretty savvy with a lot of details and has been here for a little bit, and just a little explanation that a UX prod ticket means a feature, a bug means a bug, UX prod has the mod and UI ones under it, and like, oh yeah, I didn't, that makes sense now. And it's like, but that shouldn't probably be day one either, right? Like that's not the most important thing anyone needs to know. I do also think the SIGs can learn from each other. Just what have you done to welcome people? Is there anything that works that keeps people around? It's been a while since I've been to the acquisition SIG, but I know that they, in every meeting, it's like if there's anybody that's new for the first time, if you'd like to stick around at the end of the meeting, we'll talk and let you know what we do here and that kind of thing. So, what
Yes.
are the different SIGs doing that we could learn from?
Yes,
Yeah.
we did test, and we were talking about it among the SIG conveners about it. Yeah, but we didn't have any new people coming in here, and part of it, and people dropped off because there was no new development, and yeah, people are tired of. That's been part of the problem, I think. People have been tired of talking again and again about what they want from Folio, and now they wouldn't get it.
Yeah,
But
that is real.
now that we started the prioritization process, I mean, there is some we could get some new momentum to people to people get feeling that what they say matters.
Right, something was it on Slack that somebody said something like, I understand there's a lot going on right now with courses or something. It's like, yeah,
Really?
we're talking about things happening, but No, nothing has
No.
happened yet.
Exactly.
So did someone answer it? Because I didn't.
I think it was on Slack, but
Yeah, I
no, I
saw
think
it.
you're right.
It was on Slack, but no one answered.
I mean, I think it wasn't something that needed an answer. I don't think it was more, I'm
Oh,
ready to get involved.
Olga
Oh, okay.
responded to it and said
Okay.
that there's no PO for reserves, which is sort of
No.
where we've been for a while, unfortunately.
I wish we as a community had a like approach, right? Because it seems like the default is that EBSCO takes on more development, but I don't think anybody slash everybody wants that, right? Like I don't
Right.
think it's healthy for it to be a one-stop thing. You know, there's a reason why it's a distributed community, but also we'd like to have some new features and.
Yes. Yeah, and I think as, or I think the thing from the community that's needed is sort of coordination, because I do think, like, even in five colleges, we are in the process of spinning up a little development team, and they're going to be working on request anonymization. So, and then there's some European libraries that are also spinning up development teams. So I do think the community is starting to have teams. The question is, how is that development work coordinated? And it's a little bit tricky because if a development team is spinning up, in theory, or maybe in practice, they are probably working on something that's a priority for them. And so how to then, yeah, make that coordinated and work for the community as a whole, or for the most people in the community where they get input and feedback. I just don't know how that's working. Because we have had people come and say, oh, we're developing this. And we're like, oh, that's great. And they ask for feedback. So that's really good. So I think it's important that this body exists for those purposes. But I don't know that we have a lot of voice in terms of pushing a particular feature that gets developed next. I don't know what's going to come out of the product council's prioritization. They don't necessarily have resource. I mean, they admit it. They're like, we don't really have a total plan on how this is going to work, but we want to kind of bring together that top priorities from all the six. Anya, did you have something?
Yeah, I mean, what Robert said, nobody wants that there's just one big player driving development. I mean, we all made the decision for opting for an open source development to be participants. And that, of course, isn't only an opportunity, it also puts you on the spot. You have to participate actively to make it work. And I think part of these developments that are done in libraries, there's always this mix of if we are paying for something, either by providing manpower or by paying an external company to handle the development for us, our first priority often is to just look at what our specific library needs. And I think that's part of the community thought. And I think one of these examples, which I thought is going very well with the National Library of Sweden, basically financing the reading room for use at location development, with the whole development, the whole definition of use cases was basically done by the RASIC. But they are financing it. And I think that was an excellent example of how this community-driven collaborative effort could really successfully work. But for that, libraries have A, to commit to taking other libraries in other parts of the world, which look very different in terms of workflows in libraries and the way they work within a community in their particular location into account when running and financing their development. But that, on the other hand, they do have the support of a large community to make it into an excellent feature working for all, with a chance of it will be maintained by the community as a whole. And I'm not sure either how this thought and this community efforts can be communicated well, and people knew libraries willing and having the means to finance development can be integrated into that. I'm a bit lost there. It
Go
has,
ahead.
sorry. It has worked well in the past, not only with the Library of Sweden, also with other projects. So, but there are not so many projects going on that we couldn't keep the converse can we keep a steady conversation here?
I've had an idea for some time for a Wolfcon presentation and have always felt like I'm not the right presenter for it, or maybe even anyone from EBSCO. But something like pathways to features or functionality, like what are the existing examples we have of ways that things have come into being in Folio? And you've got the, top down Library of Congress says so, EBSCO does this, brings it to community, whatever. You've got University of Alabama, were they the ones that generated the calendar stuff? Like that they had a need, they developed it with feedback and that kind of thing. ERM stuff, whichever libraries got together and said, "Hey, can you do this for us?" Right? Like, I don't know if we could have a healthy conversation around that, or if that's a little too politicized to say, "Oh, well, yeah, those idiots did it that way, and we wish they'd never done that." And I'm like, well, but it got done, and we're while using it now, or whatever, right? But yeah, and I don't know that it's safe for anybody to be the one like frontline of that conversation because of whatever tensions there might be, which I don't know. I don't know if there are.
No, I think that's a good characterization, Robert. I think that's also just a, that sounds like a great idea of like how features, there are probably examples of, a dozen different ways that features have gotten developed. And I think you're right that probably EBSCO can't be the one to make that presentation, but that doesn't mean it's not a good idea. And I think that Anya's point of how this has worked successfully is sort of complicated by the fact, by the nature of an open source private sector partnership. Because as people come into the community, the partnership can make it look like a traditional, and can make it feel right. EBSCO wants to support customers who are being hosted. That totally makes sense. But it is a fine line between providing support while also, because I agree with Anya, it is not just an opportunity to participate, it is a responsibility. And that's how Five Colleges views it. Yet I work at a really small college. Like I have resources, but I have a lot of responsibilities here. Like, and doing convener for a year or two, I can sort of carve out the time, but it's a lot. It's a big commitment. And so then when you're asking libraries to commit development time and actual, whole positions to human resources, that's not necessarily what they've traditionally done. So if it's not, and those of us that were early adopters, sort of we knew what we were getting into, and that was sort of, we built up around that. But I'm not sure that newer libraries that are coming are not seeing it the same way they see if they bought Alma, right? That like, oh, we have a vendor, we do this, and then when things don't work, they're sort of like, why doesn't it work this way, EBSCO? So
And
I see that. It's challenging.
I just feel like we're at that stage where that's where the majority of new libraries are going to be coming from. They're adopting now because it's more normal, because it's more what they expect. And so that pitch is going to get harder and harder to explain. Well, we understand that you think you just tell us and we go fix it, but here's why you need to go to the RA-SIG and explain that feature yourselves, right? It's not that we don't want to advocate for you. It's that we want you to get it right and understand like how the conversation happens.
Right. And the challenge of new libraries coming on who have new needs and things is that there's a lot of old needs that are still not met, right? And they may share those, but get in line. Like there's a lot of stuff that we would love to have developed that, and things fixed, like things that are just that need to be sort of rewritten because the way we originally did isn't really working or, whatever. So, I think the maintenance piece is big. But I like this idea of thinking about pathways as a way to communicate, to keep telling the story of how open source works, and is intended to work.
But
All right.
yeah, of course. But is this really a topic for a SIG meeting? I mean,
No, I
no.
think not necessarily. I think that, I appreciate like thinking about it here. Not for the, I'm not talking at all about the, we've gone completely off the rails about the
Yeah.
WolfCon meeting. I think the idea of a pathways to future development SIG, session at WolfCon, at a future WolfCon is a great one. But I don't, that's not what we're talking about for our SIG meeting. So I think the things I would like to do at the SIG meeting, it would be let's see, so talk about the idea of a survey, and we were talking about both what are the goals of a survey, and then talk about, and I see them as twofold. Are there others that people have thought of, heard of? I feel like they are both the recruitment or the, I don't even want to call it necessarily recruitment, but more about outreach, sort of outreach to newer folio libraries or whatever. And then really to gather data on, I'm not sure at what level, app level, like what, when we're thinking about getting data on who's using what things, I don't know that we necessarily want to go to individual feature level. I want to really talk about that in the meeting to get a sense of what people would think would be useful. Bless you, Cornelia. I think the, so I'm not sure what level of detail is going to be most useful, but I think we should talk about that in the meeting. That may be. So when we talk about outreach, I want to figure out what are the places where who could be involved in, or who should we reach out to distribute such a survey. And then talk about, and some of those are existing channels of communication, but there may be others. And then we also want to talk about onboarding new members and learn both learning about and onboarding. So just if somebody wants to come and hear more about what we do, or also it would be sort of as a transition into onboarding as well. Because I think onboarding new members, if we sell it as onboarding, it sounds more like you've already committed yourself versus introduction, or something like that, that sounds a little less committed. New potential members, whatever. And maybe that is a question to folks about what ideas people have about what they would have found useful when they were thinking about getting involved in the community. And depending on who's in the room, it could also be a question to folks who are there who are new and say, what are the questions that you have that you would want addressed in an onboarding session or a introductory session? Does that seem like it's enough for, I mean, it's only 50 minutes. Feels like that's probably enough.
It's a lot.
It's a lot.
50 minutes.
Well, I mean, if we're really just talking about, we're going to introduce this idea of an onboarding session, we need to pick a, Cornelia, you and I maybe can get together during our Thursday meeting time, and talk about a date for that. And then, yeah, and then the survey discussion.
Yes, and we could we can edit our schedule entry. So now it says general RA Seek meeting, and we could make it more inviting for new people.
Oh, yeah, we
And
could say, yeah.
enter our topics.
Yes, because we can edit those directly, right? All right, well, let's talk about that on Thursday then, Cornelia. We can look at our SIG slide too.
Yes.
That would be good. All right. Anything else about WolfCon? All right, anything else not about WolfCon?
For future WolfCons or regular meetings, I'm not sure if there still are topics that people want to learn more about in detail. Like the la during last year, we had a calendar presentation and the Age to Lost presentation, and maybe there are more of these topics that we should go into detail one time. And I'd like to know about those, what people are interested in. So we could present either at a future WolfCon or make that a topic in our regular meetings.
Yeah, it would be good to find out what folks are interested in doing a deeper dive in into. I do think that is something that as a group, we haven't, you know, we that's another opportunity of a function we can serve, a purpose we can serve is by sharing information. And that is something that maybe would be more attractive to newer libraries to really learn, like, oh, learn from folks who have been in the system for longer, as a professional development tool as well. Great. On this coming Wednesday, aren't we presenting our prioritization at the Product Council, Cornelia? Isn't that this week?
Yes, Thursday. Yes, it's
Thursday.
this week.
That is this week. Okay. So we're doing that as well. So the you may all remember that the Product Council asked us to come up with in pretty quick turnaround a few months ago, prioritization, and they had to be at the feature level, and they had to have UX prods associated with them that were open, like not even in draft, but had to be fully fleshed out. So we did a pretty, I don't know, slapdash version of that prioritization in a 2 week turnaround. And we have to basically go, and they're having each SIG present at the product council what their priorities are. So I have to go and look at what we decided on for priorities, and then talk about why. They sort of feel like a moving, evolving tool. This list of the top five priorities is sort of how the product council has characterized it. They are still trying to figure out exactly how it's going to play out, but I think we are still going through old Jira tickets, and we have a plan to do a larger, more comprehensive prioritization. And I think Cornelia and I need to get together and think about what that could look like further down the road. Because the way that we did it didn't feel like a great, it felt like sort of the best we could do in a short time frame.
We can explain all that to product council.
Yes, and we will talk about that on Thursday. But yeah, just so that, just for information purposes, you know that's what's happening. All right. Anything else that folks have? Okay, well, then we will see some of you on the 18th to do our next round of review of the Volaris tickets. We're making good progress on reviewing those to see what needs to get fleshed out and what needs to be closed. So I hope everyone has a good week, and we'll see you next week. I'll see you on Thursday, Cornelia. Thank
Okay.
you.
Thank you.
Bye.
See you. Thanks. Bye.
See you. Bye. Bye.